And we are live on Facebook. Chris Graham, Jeff Fife, Augusta Free Press, thanks for joining us here on Street Knowledge. UVA 38, Duke 20 season opener finally in the books for the Hoos. Big win for Virginia today in Scott Stadium.
Yeah, interesting game, Chris. Curious on your – what were your expectations going into this game where Duke has got two games already under their belt, although not impressive showing so far, but still they've got their game legs. They've got to work out some of the kinks in Virginia's first play. Any observations or thoughts that you have? What were you expecting going in pre-kickoff?
Well, I will say I'll skip ahead just a bit because you and I watched the game together, Jeff. You noticed it first. I think it went, I'll step back from there where I think it was Terrell Janna went down with cramps after a catch in the middle to late third quarter. And then the next Duke drive, it seemed like the Duke offense was just going downhill, a couple of big runs, a couple of big passes. And we both observed, hey, it looks like, you know, Duke's got the legs because they played two games plus and Virginia just playing their first game, maybe don't have their game legs yet. I thought I saw some writing on the wall there that that Virginia team was maybe, you know, and Duke was leading at that time too. And then Virginia comes out in the fourth quarter, outscores Duke 21-0 and wins going away. You know, there were so many questions. It's such a weird year, obviously. But the strange situation of a team playing its first game against a team that's already played two games. Now, of course, Duke, you know, with two losses. Last week was a terrible loss, 26-6 to Boston College at home. Didn't look good in that game. No disrespect losing to Boston College, just the way they lost at home. And five turnovers in that game, very sloppy play. But they did have the two games of experience in Virginia. We didn't know what they had coming in. The new offense, Brennan Armstrong, looked a lot like the old offense. I'm surprised Robert Anae, the offensive coordinator, had been saying all camp long, hey, we're not going to change this offense up just because it's a different quarterback. You thought to yourself, man, Bryce Perkins is a different level guy. No offense to Brennan Armstrong, but he's a different level guy. Largely the same offense, so I'm surprised by that. The defense played about as stout as I thought, you know, had a couple of breakdowns on a couple of touchdown passes, the one long one, the one over the middle after a turnover. You talked, Jeff, about the opening kickoff. I mean, you can't start a season any worse than Virginia did. You're down at 3-0 after the first drive. Defense bows up, stops them in the red zone. You're down 10-0 in the first quarter. That all said, Virginia took some punches in the mouth, and they win going away in the fourth quarter. So I'd say an impressive effort for a first game for a team that's been practicing for 12 weeks.
You know, same offensive sets, but different players. You know, we lose three key seniors in that offense. And then some of the replacement players, what were your observations of what you saw from Armstrong? And there seemed to be a long, gangly wide receiver with two touchdowns today that wasn't even on the radar screen early on in some of the media feedback that you were getting. Tell us what you thought about the quote-unquote replacements running the same offensive set.
Yeah, I will say Virginia found a new guy, a new go-to guy in Lavelle Davis. I mean, he's somebody that he showed up on the depth chart this week, and really, honestly, you know, I've been on all the Zoom calls with players and coaches and coordinators and position coaches dating back to late March. You know, I'm not saying that his name wasn't said in any of those, but I don't remember it being said. And this kid he looks special. Jeff, you and I have watched Virginia football for a number of years. We were both racking our brains as we were watching this game, especially into the second half, trying to think of a comparison for this young man. Four catches, 101 yards, two touchdowns, had one called back that probably should have been called a catch that would have even added to those impressive figures. He was targeted 9 times. You know, I was thinking Herman Moore. You were thinking Billy McMullen. I mean, both of those are guys who played in the NFL. Herman for a long time. You know, 6'7", 210, and has a catch radius. It looks like it's about 50 feet. He's got long arms. I mean, I'd love to know what his reach is. I think Tony Bennett wants to know what his reach is, honestly. What a weapon. You know, speed and size. You can just throw it up there. He had that nice the second touchdown catch in the second half in the fourth quarter particularly. Just going up there and out jumping the DB for the ball. He looked great. Tony Poljan, we've been talking about a lot, looked great. Four catches, 44 yards for the tight end, grad transfer. Billy Kemp had 7 catches, 70 yards. He looked a lot like he was filling the role of Joe Reed from last year. Joe Reed now in the NFL with the Los Angeles Chargers. Billy Kemp, you know, at 5'9", very different than Lavelle Davis. But Billy Kemp in that sort of possession receiver role that Alamide Zaccheaus played 2 years ago as well, also in the NFL. In this offense, you need a guy who's slot receiver, you know, who can kind of find those gaps, and he did a great job of that. Terrell Janna was kind of quiet. He was the only guy, actually 4 catches on 7 targets in this game. So, yeah, I mean, boy, they – you know, I thought there were a lot of options at receiver, and we found another one in Davis.
So the passing attack seemed to have some things to get excited about for Wahoo fans. Let's talk about the rushing attack. Seemed to be a bit of a two-headed monster, but an effective one. What were your observations on Virginia's running game on this opening game of the season?
You know, the numbers maybe don't look like it, 120 yards on 37 carries. But that's actually, you know, against this Duke defense, those are pretty good numbers. And, you know, Wayne Talapapa, 16 carries, 95 yards, 2 touchdowns, and there were a lot of tough sledding yards. You know, he didn't break anything off long. He had his long was a 19-yard run. You know, we thought going into the season, this offensive line, which today you were missing Bobby Haskins, but you had on paper all 5 starting guys from last year back. Haskins expected back next week. At least that was a talk earlier this week. He's expected back for Clemson next week. Oh, by the way, we play Clemson next week. But you had all that experience coming back. And so you thought that the running game would be better just because the guys up front were you know, deep and experienced and, you know, a lot of numbers there and everything else. And that really showed. And so when I say, you know, 37 carries, 120 yards doesn't sound like a lot, I tell you, I like in the third and fourth quarters, it was the ground game that set up the passing game. You know, Brennan Armstrong really came into his own in that fourth quarter, but it was the ground game that set that up, kind of weakened the Duke defense, and then set up those big plays in the fourth quarter by the passing game. So I'd say, you know, give a good grade to that running game today.
How would you grade Armstrong out? Started out a little slow. He made a couple silly mistakes, especially giving Duke the ball in their, you know, in our red zone there. Overall, started out a little slow, seemed to pick it up a little bit. Second quarter was brilliant. You know, how would you grade him out, and what things are you going to look for him to improve upon as we get into maybe a stronger ACC slate?
Well, let's just say through 3 quarters, he was 16 of 36 with 2 interceptions, 125 yards. That's a C minus at best, and that's being a generous professor, and it's really because it's 2020 and you're being that nice. Fourth quarter, 9 of 11, 2 touchdowns, 137 yards. Man, you know, you win games in fourth quarter, and Virginia was down 2017 at the start of the fourth quarter. And Armstrong, you know, the running game softened it up, but he also contributed in the running game. He had 47 yards on 10 carries. And as what I was saying earlier, you know, Robert Anae, the offensive coordinator, kept insisting, hey, we're going to run the offense in a very similar way. You're not going to see much different. And I didn't see a lot different. I mean, yeah, Bryce Perkins isn't back there to you know, be dynamic, but they still ran a lot of the same plays. You saw empty backfield sweeps with your quarterback. You saw there was one play in the first quarter, I'm trying to think, where he faked the handoff to Talapapa and then used Talapapa basically as a small fullback and kind of rode behind him for a nice 8 or 9 yard run. Armstrong's not as speedy, as athletic necessarily as Bryce Perkins, but he's shifty. He can still move the ball with his feet. And so, you know, at the end, I mean, you know, so I go from a C minus or a D plus through 3 quarters. I mean, you got to give the guy a B plus now, because he won, you know, he was part of the win in the fourth quarter, 9 of 11, 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. That's winning time. And he really stepped up when the team needed him to step up.
We saw a number 99 on the field briefly. And as you and I were talking, Stone was the quarterback that came in to sort of mop up duty. Do you expect to see that quarterback hierarchy sort of continue? And what were your brief observations of our fast and speedy transfer quarterback?
Well, Keaton Thompson got in, and Jeff, we both observed the first 2, maybe 3 times he was in the game, he was a decoy. He came in the first half once, I think once in the third quarter. There might have been a third time. He lined up basically in the slot and then really, you know, almost like he didn't block anybody, but he was there, and it was to say, hey, he's here, watch out. And then finally, you know, and you even said it, after the second time we saw him, they're setting something up here. The setup was a play where Armstrong looked like he was changing to play at the line of scrimmage, walked away to act like he's talking to the guards to let them know, and the tackle let them know what the play is on the left side of the line. And then he went in motion, and then they snapped the ball to the running back, who then flipped it to Thompson, who then threw an ill-advised wounded duck in the direction of Armstrong. That was the payoff, which wasn't much. At least it wasn't intercepted. Hey, Duke did the same thing, and their wide receiver threw an interception that stopped a scoring drive. They were in plus territory around the 30-yard line, and just the guy just threw it and threw it right in the middle of the field and got intercepted. So at least Thompson didn't get intercepted. But I've been saying this, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, that when Thompson lost the starting job, put it better, Armstrong won the starting job at quarterback, that Thompson's too good of an athlete to keep off the field. And he said, we're going to find ways to get him on the field. My thought was they put him in some goal line or wildcat packages, use him that way. But even then, I'm not an advocate of that. Last year when Armstrong got hurt in the Weber Mary game, that was the second game of the season, and he was on the depth chart but wasn't available. That's one of those weird things you can do in college football you can't do in the NFL. It was 3 or 4 weeks he wasn't really available. And so Virginia made the offense very vanilla. Perkins couldn't be exposed as much in the offense. The offense stagnated. They lost 3 of the next 4 games. And so I don't know. I kind of feel better with – I mean, Thompson's your number two. Even though Stone came in and took the snaps late in the game, Thompson's your number two. If Armstrong gets hurt, Thompson's your number two. I don't know if I like him being out there, even in decoy situations. Because if Armstrong gets hurt in an offense where you do run your quarterback 10, 15 times a game, he is exposed more to injury. I think you want your number two guy to be as healthy as possible when he needs to step in.
We spent some time on the offense. Let's talk about the defense. Is Duke that bad, or is Virginia's defense that good? Because that's the most turnovers I've seen from Virginia defense in quite some time.
Well, you got to remember now that Virginia, for whatever reason, I mean, matchups happen and it's, you know, there's things. I mean, I've always said about David Cutcliffe, I think David Cutcliffe, pound for pound, is one of the top five coaches in FBS football. He's a Duke, and so he doesn't get access to the athletes that, you know, some, you know, of the more renowned coaches get. But, I mean, obviously he coached both the Mannings, one as an offensive coordinator at Tennessee and then the other as the head coach of Mississippi. And they went back to him when they were players in the NFL every year. They went back to him in the spring to get, you know, kind of refresh themselves. So the guy knows how to coach. But for whatever reason, Bronco Mendenhall's got his number. This is the 6th straight win for Virginia in this series, and 5 of those with Bronco Mendenhall. You got to think the first year we only won 2 games. Richmond blew us out. We still beat Duke that year. Daniel Jones, who was a first-round draft pick last year, played 3 games against Virginia, threw a total of 9 interceptions in those 3 games. He threw 31 interceptions in 3 years total. 9 were against Virginia in 3 games. And so for whatever reason, Virginia schemes Duke well. And they scheme one of the best offensive coaches in all of football pretty well. So give Bronco Mendenhall and staff credit. So that said, yeah, Duke stunk today. 5 interceptions, 4 by your quarterback, Chase Bryce. He was 16 of 36 in this game, 2 touchdowns, but the 4 picks. They ran that trick play that led to an interception. They only ran for 56 yards on 38 carries. Now, I'll look at the numbers here. 22 of those were sack yards, but still, you take that out, they still ran for 78 yards. Virginia with 5 sacks. That would have been 78 yards on 33 carries. So the running game got nothing going. The passing game got nothing going. You know, this is a Duke team that, they played Notre Dame pretty well for maybe three quarters and part of the fourth. Before falling, you know, by 2 touchdowns there. They got blown out at home by Boston College last week. Maybe it's a little bit of both. Duke's not that good. But the Virginia defense, I mean, give them credit. They made Duke one-dimensional. When you take away a team's running game and you make them drop back and pass, you tee off. You get them. The 5 sacks indicate that. The 5 interceptions indicate that. That's a pretty good game for your defense.
Yeah, because ultimately they got a gift field goal Duke's offense from the questionable – opening punt turnover. They get the turnover inside the 10 on the Armstrong toss. And then that early touchdown they got was kind of a fluke defensive play. It was just a misassignment. So ultimately it felt like Duke really only earned 3 of those points. And I think Virginia had a strong showing. You know, we, they seem to be holding up the trenches pretty well against the running game. There seem to be some assignment issues, which you would think may happen in that first game, trying to figure things out. Blunt made up for sort of missing a couple plays with a great pick, but then has to leave at the end of the game in sort of junk time with a knee injury. I don't know if anything has popped up. It's probably too early on terms of UVA's media sites about the nature of that injury, but not being able to put any pressure on it gives you great concern for a Wahoo fan. You know, what's the depth of that defense look like to sustain an early injury from a leader in your safety?
Yeah, I'm blunt. I mean, we don't know. I just checked my email. Nothing from UVA yet post game about any injury situations or anything else as we're talking right now. You know, you do have, I mean, maybe this is where having D'Angelo Amos from JMU, the grad transfer from JMU, actually got a lot of time today, had seven tackles today, just like Blunt did. Blunt had seven tackles. You know, you mentioned Blunt had the interception. Amos had an interception too at the end of the first half. And so maybe that depth will help. I mean, you know, you did today we saw Brenton Nelson come back. He had been lost last year. You know, we talked about Bryce Hall being hurt last year, but Brenton Nelson being out last year was also not helpful for that defense in the second half of last season. You know, this defense was a strength of the team going into last season, first six, seven games of last season, and then you got everybody hurt, and Nelson was one of those guys, but he's back. And so there's depth there. Not to say that, you know, you want to have kind of like Joey Blunt, a preseason All-ACC candidate kind of guy, to be missing. So we'll hope that it looked worse than it was. I will note, I mean, I'm just kind of reading tea leaves here. At least they didn't take him straight back to the locker room. They took him to the little medical tent on the sideline. So, I mean, I'm hopefully reading something there. But yeah, you got depth, you got Amos, and you got some other guys. And I'll talk about some other guys. I mean, looking at the numbers here, Jeff, got the defensive stats in front of me. Zane Zandier, 15 tackles, two for loss. Nick Jackson, 12 tackles. And then the five INTs spread out. Nelson actually had two of them in his return. Nick Grant had an interception. Amos had an interception. Blunt had an interception. A lot of good stuff. Matt Gamm had six tackles. I'm looking at the sack numbers here. Taylor credited with 1.5 sacks. Gamm a sack. Bernie a sack. Briggs had a sack. You know, Briggs is a guy that we don't really call his name a lot because nose tackles jobs in a 3-4 defense, they're to eat up blocks in the middle of the field. He only had two tackles, but he had a sack. And, you know, Briggs was a 4-star recruit. He's a true sophomore. And even though you don't call his name a lot, you're not supposed to call his name a lot. He's supposed to be there to let the linebackers do their job. And the more tackles your linebackers get in, when you have Zandier and Jackson in the middle of your defense getting 15 and 12, that tells you that Briggs is doing a good job. So, yeah, I think overall just a great job by the defense, and we'll have to just hold our breath a little bit on Joey Blunt.
UVA now 9 home wins in a row. This, though, an unusual home victory, only have 1,000 fans in the stands. It didn't look like their athletic department had many positive COVID tests this week, although the Hokies that are tipping off as we record this were carrying 23, which is a struggle. How much of an impact do you think as Virginia moves forward and the rest of the ACC is COVID going to have on the teams? And is it going to be who's the best team or who's the, can stay the healthiest or a combination of both?
Probably a combination of all. I mean, I don't want to say anything bad about Virginia Tech. To a great degree, I believe that there are a lot of things about COVID that are maybe misstated in the media to a degree. And I think that, you know, just because guys test, I mean, I think the bigger thing is, okay, let's just go through where we have the rules we have in place. If guys test positive, they need to be out. If guys are in contact with them, the contact tracing is an issue. There's so many variables here. What goes on your campus? I mean, you know, the NBA has been able to bubble up. Major League Baseball, they haven't bubbled. I mean, they test every day, and that's an example that's a little different than the NBA. The NFL can't bubble. I mean, their players go home, and they're around their families and that kind of thing. So the college kids are on college campuses, and, you know, the tests are picking up what they're picking up. And, You know, I don't think you want to credit anybody with, I mean, UVA, the football program's only had 5 positive tests. They were all when the kids were coming back from wherever they were. I mean, they've been on grounds for 12, 13 weeks now, and all the tests were very early, all the positive tests were very early. But, you know, you can run into somebody and they can cough on you, and one guy can get COVID. And then if he, you know, contact tracing says 4 other guys made contact with him, that could be 5 guys that you have not available to you that next week. So I look at this virus and the way we're testing it and the way we're dealing with it, kind of biblically. There's a line of the Bible. I'm probably not quoting it 100% accurately, but the implication is it rains on the good and the bad. Just because people test positive for COVID in your workplace or in your family or in your football program doesn't mean you're dirty. Just because you don't doesn't mean you're necessarily clean. It just there's it's a virus. If you breathe, you have a chance of catching the virus. So to answer your question, though, Jeff, yeah, it's going to be a little bit of luck. I mean, the kids are circulating on college campuses. They're circulating in the air. The COVID could be in the air. Is that the biggest deal in the world? Our society has decided it is. So just try to keep yourself as clean and lucky as you can. Lou Holtz would probably have some interesting insight on this. He was always the one who said it's better to be lucky than good. I think in the case of COVID this year, I think it's better to be lucky than good.
Well, as luck would have it, Virginia was pretty good today. I mean, a great opener. When you look at sometimes we start with the joys of the VMIs or some of the smaller schools. We got to dodge Georgia, which figured out how to play in the second half of their opening game. You know, all things considered, what type of momentum does this game give Virginia next week and moving into the ACC?
Well, they play Clemson next week, so that can stop your momentum really fast. You know, there is a feeling, and I'd love to, you know, of course, on Monday, we'll be catching up with the Coach Mendenhall and then the players that are made available to us both, actually Monday, Tuesday, maybe even Wednesday, there will be players made available to us by Zoom. It won't surprise me to hear, I mean, the players have talked about the Clemson and Florida games that ended last season. And what they learned from those games. I mean, they, you know, football at the end of a season, you're everybody's banged up. Virginia was particularly banged up on defense. And, you know, you were missing Jordan Mack, you were missing Bryce Hall, you were missing Brenton Nelson. You played a lot of young guys that now are not young guys. Now they're veteran guys because they had to play last season. But Virginia didn't put its best effort out, and it didn't put their best defense out. And I think they felt like they didn't put their best effort out defensively in those losses to Clemson and Florida at the end of last season. You know, we'll have to wait on Joey Blunt, but largely they are as healthy as they can be. This defense coming into the season, you brought 9 of your 11 starters back from the Orange Bowl. You're too deep. I think the number was 19 of your 22 from your too deep. Plus then you add those 2 kids from JMU, who are both NFL prospects. That's why they're playing at UVA and not waiting until the spring to play at JMU. So the defense is your strength. I mean, you're going to play a Clemson team that's rested, that hasn't really been tested yet. You were tested a little bit today if you're Virginia. You know, you had to come back. You were down 10-0. Then you were down 20-17 going into the fourth quarter. Defense stepped up in the fourth quarter too. The offense scored 3 touchdowns, but the defense set them up with a couple of picks and did its job keeping Duke off the scoreboard. So this is momentum, and this is a game that Virginia has been looking forward to having a chance to play. You go down there, there will be fans there. There are not going to be 1,000 fans there. There'll probably be a 20 or 25,000 fans there. I haven't seen the latest number. It will be a different environment. And you're playing Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne and Dabo Swinney and cast of thousands. But this Virginia team has been talking about this game. I can say this. They've been talking about this game since the first Zoom I did with coaches and players dating back to late last March. So they've been looking forward to this one. Clemson has this every week. It's kind of like the Virginia basketball team. You know, when you're Clemson football, you know you're going to get the other team's best shot. I think Virginia will give them a good shot next week.
Be interesting to see how they continue that. Virginia with a strong opening game in the ACC slate and their regular season, winning 38-20. For Chris Graham, I am Jeff Fife, Augusta Free Press and Street Knowledge.